Okay, so we are in the series called Bottomless. We are speaking about life in the Spirit. We have done, I think, 4 weeks now. This is week 5. We are closing up everything. We are closing up shop. And I thought a lot about how can we finish everything that we've spoken about over the last couple of weeks. And that is what I'm going to attempt to do this morning. I'm going to try to sort of summarize a little bit everything and give you one final picture of what I believe it looks like to live life in the Spirit. Amen? Okay, so I want to show you a picture, but before you put it up, I need to give you a warning. Ladies, warning, this picture is very provocative. So so just a warning. Okay, roll the picture. Okay, so there it is. You've heard of McDreamy. You've heard of McSteamy. There's McPuffy. It seems like I'm swollen. It's because I've got a lot of clothing on underneath the scrubs. It's very deceiving. But that is me. Wow, that was a long time ago. That is me, I believe, 12 years ago. And that was me in the labor ward, in the hospital. My beautiful wife was about to give birth. And I got to go in there. And just in the true spirit of Father's Day, I thought that this was a good picture, and I thought that this was a good topic to speak on. But note the difference between the husband and the wife. When the wife goes into the labor ward, she's about to go through the worst thing humanly possible. When the husband is about to go in, he's literally got a camera. I'm sort of like a tourist. Hey, I'm just here to take photos. So that was my contribution to the whole thing. But the reason I wanted to show you this picture this morning is because the labor ward for me, as a person that has lived on this planet for 38 years, was one of the most spectacular, one of the most beautiful, one of the most incredible experiences I ever got to go through with my spouse. It was absolutely amazing. It was absolutely beautiful. It was absolutely terrifying. I have never felt more out of control in my entire life. I have never had less to do with a process but bragged more about it afterwards. I felt like the king of the world. I felt like the greatest guy ever. I fell deeply more in love with my wife. She was like a superhero after that whole process. And the labor ward was an incredible experience for me. And here's what I want to say to us this morning. I believe with all of my heart that God wants to meet us in the labor ward of the Spirit. Okay, just hang with me this morning. There is a place, I believe, where God wants to give birth to some of the things that He has placed in our lives. There is a place, there is a moment where God wants to release the things that He has placed in your life. And I believe firmly that it is the labor ward of the Spirit is what I am going to call it this morning. I believe that a lot of us have found ourselves in the production line. What we do is we feel and we sense and we know and we see that God wants to do something, and the birth date is coming down the line. And what a lot of us have done is we've heard about God's promises, we understand God's promises, but now what we're doing is we're living our lives in such a way that we are in the production line. We are standing in a hot, sticky factory, and we are desperately trying to manufacture and to produce with our own two hands that which only God can produce. I want to say to us this morning that we have got to step out of the production line of self-reliance in the flesh, and we have got to find God in the labor ward of the Spirit, where we believe in Him, where we trust in Him, and where He birthed things into our lives that otherwise would not be possible. The Bible says something very interesting about our relationship with Jesus. It actually says that as the church, we are the bride, and it says that Christ is the groom. We are in a relationship with Him. It is an intimate relationship. And I firmly, firmly believe that God's heart for the church is that we will walk through this relationship with Him, where we will have moments where God comes and conceives things through intimacy, through vulnerability, through those moments where we are just open and honest with Him. It's in those moments where He will come and He will plant things in us. He will conceive things in us. He wants to walk us through that pregnancy. He wants to take us all the way through all the aches and the pains and the discomfort and the unsurety. He wants to walk us through that process. And ultimately, I believe God wants to meet us in the labor ward of the Spirit, where He starts to birth things into our lives that otherwise would be completely impossible if we try to manufacture it with our own two hands. Are you with me this morning? So why is it so important that we find ourselves in the labor ward instead of the production line? You know, we are all about production. We are all about producing things. We're all about the bottom line. We're all about mass production. We're all about get the job done, get it done quickly, get it done as quickly as possible. And we do a great job as people. We produce wonderful products and we buy things and we participate. But you know what I've noticed about things? Things that are made with human hands, I've noticed two things about them. First thing I've noticed is they can always be improved upon. Have you noticed that? There is not a product that has ever been produced by human hands that cannot be improved upon, except Chipotle. They have done a perfect work over there. But otherwise, you cannot improve. And as a matter of fact, when they tried to improve it with the queso, they almost messed it up, right? Just leave it. It's perfect. You cannot improve. You can always improve with what is produced with human hands. The second thing I've realized about anything that is made by human hands, it is not eternal. It will pass away. It will fade away. You can have the greatest city in the world that is built by the greatest civilization, by the greatest people, but I'll tell you what, that city will come to pass. Things will ruin. Things will evaporate. Things will disappear. Listen to me this morning. Anything that you produce with these two hands, no matter how good they look in the beginning, no matter how shiny they are in the start, they will not last and they will fade away. Here's what I want to say to you about things that come from the labor ward. When we find ourselves in the labor ward, we find ourselves in a place where God birthed things into existence, and those things are eternal things. Man, I want to tell you, I've got three little girls and they are perfect. They are beautiful. They cannot be improved upon. It is something that God has given me. It is something that God has done. And they will live for eternity. They will be around forever. We will be together. They will be disrespecting me in heaven one day. So it is just going to be phenomenal. For eternity, we are together. Why is it important that we find ourselves in the labor ward of the Spirit as opposed to the production line? It's because of the end results. If you want results in your life that are everlasting, if you want results in your life that makes an eternal difference and an eternal impact, you've got to allow God the space to come and do via the Spirit the things that only God can do. Let me read to you out of Galatians quickly what Paul says about works that are done in the flesh. Listen to this. Galatians 4, verses 10 to 14, it says this. For all who rely on the works of the law are under the curse of the law. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. So what is Paul speaking about when he speaks about the lawyer? Paul is speaking about the commandments. Paul is saying this. He's saying, listen, if you are going to try and live for God through keeping His commandments in your own strength and in your own ability, not only will you never get it right, you're actually under a curse. Are you seeing this? Look at what he says. This is not me saying it. This is Paul saying it, not me. Listen to this. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous shall live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says the person who does these things shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from what? The curse of the law, by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And what Paul is saying here is kind of what I'm saying. He's saying the following. He's saying, look, man, you can try to live for God by producing God's promises with these two hands, with your own ability, without your own strength. But here's what's going to happen. What you're going to produce might look good for a while, and it might feel good for a while, but it will never have the everlasting impact that God's works will make when they are birthed in the Spirit through relying on Him, depending on Him through faith. Are you with me this morning? So what I want to do is I want to speak to you. Me, Mark Crossman. I want to speak to you this morning on Father's Day about pregnancy. I want to take you through my four amazing, powerful insights about pregnancy. The expert that I am. About pregnancy. I'm going to speak to you about pregnancy this morning because here's what I've come to realize. This is my first amazing point. If there is no pregnancy, there is no labor ward. Are you with me this morning? We need to go through this process. So, a couple of things. I'm going to take four big things out of pregnancy and I'm going to share it with you as we speak about what it looks like to live life in the Spirit. Are you guys okay? You're out there still? I know this is a little weird. This is a little weird. Just hang with me. There's a couple of weeks that I've been preaching now, so it's probably going to get weirder before Zach comes back, but just hang on. So number one this morning, pregnancy comes out of intimacy. Pregnancy comes out of intimacy. I want to say something right now that is probably going to get me into trouble. So let me say it. I have noticed, and if we've got any parents in the room, just hang with me, but I have come to realize, and I've noticed in my life, that conception does not necessarily always happen the first time, one time. Are you with me? Just hang with me. Typically, it takes a little bit of time. Typically, it takes a while. Typically, what it requires is a relationship of intimacy where these special moments can occur and reoccur and reoccur. It's not just about once-off moments. It's not just about Sunday here and Sunday there and maybe a conference over there. It's not about one-off outward moments, but it's about a relationship that is filled with vulnerability and that is filled with intimacy. It is in the context of that relationship of intimacy where there can be fruitfulness and where there can be conception. I want to say to you this morning that God is not into speed dating. He is not into see you today, don't see you for 500 years, and then see you again eventually when we bump into each other at Publix. God is into, I want to be with you, I want to walk with you, I want to know you, I want to be intimate with you, I want to do this life with you. And as we are together, as we spend time together, it is in those moments that God will start to conceive these things in your life. You know the other thing that I've noticed, and this is just sort of what I've seen, and this happens sometimes, where sometimes parents will get to this place where they want to have a baby, and they want to have a baby so bad that it now becomes this regimented thing where it's like, okay, Thursday, 5 o'clock, I looked at the calendar, I'm going to be ready, you need to come home from work, we got to do this thing, we're on a schedule, and it's proper, and it's organized, and we got to work hard, we got to be disciplined, we got to make this thing happen. And sometimes what happens is that when you put that kind of pressure and you put that kind of stress on the relationship, what happens is that it doesn't happen because it's not relaxed and it's not intimate and it's not what God wants. It's not about meeting with Him once here and once there. And it's also not about meeting with God in this regimented fashion where you're like, okay, Lord, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. So yeah, I guess I'm here now. So give it to me. Tell me something great. It's not about that. That's not the relationship that God is looking for. He's looking for a relationship where you guys are together, where you spend time together, where you reach out to Him, where you speak to Him, where you tell Him what's on your heart, where you tell Him what you're going through. I was a little stressed out on Friday morning, and it was so funny because I got in the car and I started driving, and as I was driving, I literally just had this great big fat conversation with myself in my head. And every once in a while, words would come out. But I was just like, you know, I'm kind of stressed out, and I'm really hoping this will work out, and I'm really hoping that will work out, and I'm really hoping this will happen. And I'm telling you, I'm like 40 minutes into this amazing conversation with myself, and I feel the Holy Spirit just going, I'm so sorry. I hate to interrupt you because you're doing a great job just moaning and complaining about your life. I mean, you're doing fantastic. But I'm going to ask you to do something. Why don't you just shift your focus a little bit? Why don't you invite me into this conversation? And why don't you start to ask me and speak to me and tell me the things that you're stressed about and tell me the things that you're trusting me for? Let me into the situation. Tell me what's going on. I know you're busy. I know you've had a long day. I know you don't want to speak to me right now. I know you just want to be on the couch watching TV. But I'm here. I'm available. I'm open. I want you to invite me in. And as we do this thing together, allow me to birth things in your life. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been speaking about the fact that this walk in the Spirit is a walk of faith. It is a walk of faith, and it's fascinating because as we've looked at what it means to have faith, we've seen two really cool things. We've seen, first of all, in Romans 10, it says that faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes from the Word of God. We see in Hebrews that it says that where does our faith come from? It comes from looking at Jesus, the author and the perfecter and the finisher of our faith. So what's interesting is that faith will come from two places. It will come from hearing Jesus, and it will come from seeing Jesus. You know what that is saying? It is saying that faith arises in the context of relationship. It is as we spend time with Him. It is as we hear Him. It is as we see Him. It is as we open ourselves up to Him in our day-to-day walk that God will come and He will start to birth things in our lives. Listen to this quickly. This is such an amazing piece of scripture. And it's in Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12. And if you're wondering about God's desire to be with us, if you're wondering about His heart towards us, does this amazing God want to spend time with us? Does He want to be with us? Does He care about us? Well, look at this. Look at this amazing scripture in Psalm 139, verses 7. It says, "Where can I go from your Spirit?
Thanks for bringing the church into this room. Here's what's
go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you." I mean, that's like a beautiful poem that God writes to us. And this comes through David that we read in the Psalms, where God is saying, man, where can you go to hide from my Spirit? Where can you go to get away from me? My heart, my desire is to be with you. I want to be intimate with you. I don't just want to be a thing that you tick off the list, but I want to be a person that is in your life that you can connect with and walk with and be with. Pregnancy is about intimacy. I think so often when we think about doing great things for God, and I think so often when we think about doing great things just in life, immediately our mind shifts to all the things that need to happen, right? We immediately start to think about the stuff that needs to happen, and we'll put together brainstorming meetings where it's like, what are the things that we need to do? But what I've come to realize in my own life is the greatest ideas, the greatest purpose, the greatest passion, the greatest peace, the most creativity comes out of those moments of intimacy with Him. It's when you're just with Him and when you're calm that He will come and He will give us some of the answers to the things that we've so desperately been looking for. So first one, pregnancy is all about intimacy. Number two, pregnancy takes time. Pregnancy takes time. I'll be honest with you this morning. Nothing irritated me more every time Linda was pregnant than waiting for the baby. It was the most frustrating thing in the world for me because it was uncomfortable on me. You know what I mean? I mean, I was the one going through all kinds of weird stuff. And I was just so eager to see the baby. I wanted the baby to come. And I think what was irritating is the sweet little baby was right there. I could sort of touch the baby via Linda's stomach, right? It's right there. And I know it's coming and the house is ready and the room is ready and the car is ready. The car is going to be ready for 5 years after the baby's born. And then you just want them to become teenagers because of that irritating car seat. But everything is ready, right? We're ready for the baby to come. I've painted the room a weird color and everything is great and everything is amazing. And now you've just got to hurry up and wait. It's like you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting and it just feels like the baby never wants to come. Isn't it funny how we live in a generation and we live in a society that is literally a fast food, immediate, everything happens right now generation? We are just not a generation that understands the concept of waiting. I had this thing happen to me last week where I was at the bank, and I rushed in there, and I had the busiest day ever. I just was running around. There was crazy stuff going on, and the kids, and summer holiday, and just a whole bunch of stuff. So I go into the bank, and the lady says to me, "Hey, can you please go sit down and wait? We'll be with you in a minute." So I sat down in this amazingly comfortable chair that they had there at the bank. Amazing chair, just comfortable chair, beautiful air conditioning, and I was left by myself completely. I was extremely agitated and irritated the entire time I was sitting there in a comfortable chair, left alone in air conditioning. Extremely irritated. And I then left afterwards, and I was like, I cannot believe they made me wait. And then later on in the day, I was like, you know what? The most blissful moment of my entire day was the 5 seconds in the bank when I wasn't dealing with a whole bunch of stuff. But it's like the minute we're even told that we need to wait, something on the inside of us goes, really? I've got to wait. I've got places to be, baby. Time is money, baby. I don't really have anywhere to be. I just want to be in control, right? I was thinking about this, and if you're younger, if there's some young people around there, here was a time, believe this or not, where you did not get email on your phone. I know this sounds crazy to you, but there was a time where there wasn't Snapchat and Facebook and Instagram. There was a time where if there was a girl at school that you liked and you saw her, let me explain to you how this process worked. You would write her a letter. Okay, maybe this is just South Africa. And you would slip the letter to her, or if you wanted to make it official, you would go and you would actually mail the letter. Now, let me explain to you what mailing a letter is. You actually write on a piece of paper. This is the most Stone Age thing you've ever done. Then you take that paper and you put it into another piece of paper. But this paper has glue on it, so it's like a sweet little door that opens and closes. You then close it in a little jail of paper. You then go to a building. That's right. You drive in your car. You go to a building. You give them the letter. This is then what happens. You don't know if they're going to get the letter or not. You don't know. You're hoping. That's what the system is based on. The system is based on hope, patience, love, right? You're hoping she'll get the letter. And the only way you know she got the letter is if one day in a metal box outside of your house, there's another piece of paper in another little piece of paper that comes back from her, right? I mean, this is how we lived for a long time. There was no pling. You just get a thing on your phone. And finally, you know, we evolved to the place where you may or may not have a computer in your house. Correct. There was a time where everybody did not have a computer in their house. Are you saying that everybody didn't have an iPad? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there was a time where the house did not necessarily have a computer. But if you were lucky enough to have a computer, don't worry, you could connect to the internet and get email. It just took 50 minutes of this weird sound where it sounded like pigs are being slaughtered on a hill somewhere while the internet connects via your modem, right? That is how we used to live. Now, it is instant. I can send you something now and you get it immediately. Here's what I think we struggle with. We have become progressively quicker as a society. We move quicker. We think quicker. Everything is quicker. But here's what I think has not happened. I don't think God feels any pressure whatsoever to catch up with where we're at. So what's happening is God is moving at the exact same pace he's always moved at. He's doing things the way he's always done things, but we have made things quicker, so we get frustrated. Look at this. Hebrews 13 verses 8 says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He never changes. He stays the same. And there is a process that God wants to walk us through that, man, we just don't like process anymore. We don't like waiting anymore. What if I were to say to you that God only spoke to Moses when he was 80, right? And we just think an ESPN highlights real levels. We think that everything has to happen quickly. God moves at his time. I think what happens is, and here's the problem, and here's where we find ourselves in the flesh, there will be moments in your life that you will know what it is that God has placed in your heart, but you don't want to wait through the process, so you will try to make it happen quickly. You will try to take some of the dreams and some of the visions and some of the promises that God has placed in your heart, and you will try to speed up the process by involving yourself in it with your own hands and with your own ability. I want to say this to you. Abortion happens when man interferes in the natural process of a pregnancy. When men get their hands involved in the natural process of a pregnancy, they can stop the pregnancy from happening. I want to say to you this morning that I believe firmly that there have been times in all of our lives that we have aborted some of the things that God has had for us because we weren't patient enough to allow Him to do what He needed to do. So what we did is we understood it, we heard it, it was in our hearts, but we couldn't wait. We had to make it happen quickly. So what we did was we involved ourselves in the process. We could not help but putting our hands into God's process. And in doing that, I believe there have been times where, man, you had the right job coming, but you just couldn't wait. You had to try to make it happen. You had to try to figure out a shortcut. And in doing that, you compromised the situation. There have been times in your life where you've waited for Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, and it was so close, and you met the right person at the wrong time, and you couldn't wait, and you couldn't allow God just to restore you and take you through a process. So you jumped the gun, and you went into that thing too quickly, and later on there were all kinds of consequences that you had to face because of that. I want to say to you this morning that part of meeting God in the labor ward of the Spirit is having the patience and having the trust and having the faith to believe that God is the one that will get you to where He needs you to go. We don't need to always involve ourselves in the process. I think about David, and it's kind of amazing if you look at King David, how the prophet Samuel comes and he anoints David to be the king of Israel. I mean, this is this amazing moment where he comes and he says, you're essentially going to be the guy that is the next king of Israel. Do you know that David ends up not being the king for another 20 years? For 20 years, David is not the king. And not only does David not become the king, but right after he gets told he's going to be the king, King Saul now is hunting him down and wants to kill him. David now is on the run. He finds himself in a place where he is the furthest place from where God said he was going to be. And there'll be moments where God will come and he will speak to you and he will deliver promises to you and he will give you dreams and he will give you visions, and it is alive. It's like a sonogram. You've seen it. You felt the baby move. But now you find yourself on the back end of the desert and you are the furthest place from where the promise was made. And the temptation will always be to help God, to jump in, to manufacture things, to speed up the process. I want to show you something amazing. Come with me to the book of Genesis. And we're talking about pregnancy, and I can't think of a better example. But look at what it says here. Genesis 15, verses 1 to 5. And God comes and He makes a promise to a man named Abraham. Look at this promise that God makes to Abraham, and look at what happens. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Listen to what God says. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. So here's Abraham, and he is in this moment with the Lord. And I love this. Nothing paints this picture better than this story. Here's Abraham, and he's having a conversation with God, and he's intimate with God, and he's in a relationship with God. And as Abraham and God are in this conversation, God makes Abraham a promise. He says, Abraham, you will have a son, and that son will be from the flesh. It'll come from you and your wife. Abraham then goes, that is amazing. Check out what happens now. So God comes and he makes the promise. But I want to show you what the production line looks like. Now we skip to Genesis 16, verses 1 to 6, and it says this. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abraham, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Check this out. Abraham agreed to what Sarah said. So after Abraham had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarah, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. Now look at what happens here. So let's just catch up here. So Abraham is in relationship with God. God comes and deposits this promise in Abraham's heart. Abraham goes back and he feels the pressure to manufacture and to produce the promise God had made him in his own strength, in his own ability, in his own time, with his own ideas and his own plans. So in other words, what I'm saying to you is the motive is okay. The motive is good, right? Abraham is literally trying to do what God had just said he would do through him. But here's the problem. Abraham decides that he's going to do it himself in his own strength and in his own might. Look at the consequences of what happens out of this. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarah said to Abraham, you are responsible for the wrong I'm suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. So I want you to see this. So what starts out as I am going to help God fulfill the promise that God has made me now ends in God needs to judge me because I've messed this thing up. When we try to produce the promises that only God can produce, the end result will always be judgment. Stick with me this morning. Your slave is in your hands, Abraham said. Do with her whatever you think best. Then Sarah mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. And there's a stunning turn of events here where Sarah goes to Abraham and she says, listen, I am on board with this. I want God to do what God said he would do in our lives. He made you a promise. I want to help you fulfill the promises that God has made. But here's the thing. I think it's too big for God. I think it's too difficult for God. I don't think it's going to happen. So here's what's going to happen. We are going to take charge of this ourselves, and we are going to produce the promises that only God can produce in our own effort and in our own strength. And look at what happens here. Sarah goes from a God-fearing woman that wants to please God, and she now is a woman that has thrown a mother and a child out without any shelter, without any food. When we try to produce the promises in our life that only God can produce, the end result will be we will become people that we never intended to be. We will find ourselves in situations of compromise. We will find ourselves in situations that literally create judgment. So look at this now. I want you to come with me to Galatians. And Paul actually speaks about this in Galatians. This is really cool. Look at what it says in Galatians 4 verses 21 to 23. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but his son by the free woman was born as the result of a divine promise. And Paul is speaking to the Galatians, and he's saying, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Having begun in the spirit, are you now being perfected in the flesh? Stop trying to live for God without God. Stop trying to do a whole bunch of things that look good on the outside, but it has no power and it has no significance because you're doing it without God. Get back to the place where your full reliance, your full trust, your full faith is in Him, because it is through faith that the son of promise is born, not through effort, not through striving. Galatians 4, 28 to 31 goes on and says this, now you, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. At the time the son born according to the flesh persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. But what does Scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son. For the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. And it's amazing here where the Bible actually says that the son that comes from the slave woman will actually start to persecute the son that comes from the free woman. I want to say to you this morning that the works we produce in the flesh will actually work against the works that God wants to produce in the spirit. They actually work against each other, not for one another. Are you with me this morning? Number three, let's move on here. Wow, I don't have a lot of time, so I'll be quick. Pregnancy will change you. Pregnancy will change you. Linda's pregnancy wrecked my body. It was absolutely devastating what I went through when my wife was pregnant. But pregnancy will change you. Philippians 3 verses 12 to 15, listen to this. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I love this. Paul is saying, yeah, man, I'm not perfect yet, but I press on towards the goal that Christ has laid hold of me. And I'm not going to read all of it this morning, but what Paul is saying here in essence is, hey, we are not perfect yet. But if God has started a work on the inside of us, we need to start living our lives in a way that lines up with the change that He has made on the inside of us. I want to tell you this morning that pregnancy changes you, and if you're not going to flow with the change, you're going to find yourself in trouble. The greatest thing in pregnancy is the pregnancy pants. Have you seen these things? They are the greatest thing that's ever been invented, and I wore Linda's for a while there. Went through a dark patch. But here's what the pregnancy pants are, if you don't know what I'm talking about. The pregnancy pants look like normal pants up to here, and then they turn into heaven. They don't have a belt area. They just have this elasticy, smooth thing that you just put over your belly, and it is amazing. And you're free, and you can frolic, and you can dance, and you can sit down, and you can stand up, and it's the most amazing thing. My life's desire is to live in pregnancy pants, okay? But the pregnancy pants are amazing, right? But here's the deal. If you're going to try to slip in to your skinny jeans that you wore when you were 16, when you're 9 months pregnant, you're going to cause damage to yourself, the jeans, and just general society, right? You need to dress your body type. And what I see sometimes is, man, I see Christians and God has come and He has made a change and He's moved in your life and He's doing things in your life, but your behavior does not reflect the changes that He has made. And I want to say to you this morning that, hey, you've got to allow the Spirit to, as you change, as you mature, as you develop, as the tummy grows, as the promises of God start to grow in your life, as the things that God has done in your life start to just get bigger and bigger and bigger, allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you, because some of the things that you were doing long time ago is not going to work now that you're pregnant. You got to let it go. You got to let the Spirit come and just do what He needs to do. Let Him change you. I heard somebody say this once. I heard a story. My pastor used to tell this story about sitting in a restaurant and he was eating and he was having a great time and he was kind of just doing his thing. And after he ate in the restaurant, a man came up to him and he said to him, hey, you're a Christian, obviously. And my pastor said, yeah, this is my pastor's advocate. He said, yes. And he said, man, I've been watching you all night. I've been listening to your conversations. I've been looking at your behavior. I've been looking at the way you've treated the waiters. I've been looking at the way you've handled yourself. I've been looking at the way you tip. I've been looking at your outward behavior. And I want to say this to you. You wear Jesus well. You wear Jesus well. He has come and He has done things on the inside. But let's start dressing for our body type. If He has changed you, if He's equipped you, if He's empowered you, let's stop trying to fit into skinny jeans that we shouldn't be in. Let's put on the pregnancy pants, baby. Let's just wear it. Let's just live in it. Let Him do what He needs to do. Last but not least this morning, pregnancy can be painful. Pregnancy can be painful. Pregnancy can be uncomfortable. Again, I know this only because I remember what my wife went through. I remember how she could not sleep properly at night. I remember how everything was just a struggle, and it was hot, and it was uncomfortable, and it was, you know, walking even just becomes a challenge. It is painful, and it is uncomfortable. But here's what I've seen with pregnancy. The more uncomfortable it gets, the closer you're getting to the birthday. Are you with me? The more painful it gets, the closer you're coming to the moment. The worse it gets, the more painful it gets, the more uncomfortable it gets. It does not get easier getting closer to the birthday. It gets more difficult. It becomes more uncomfortable. It becomes more frustrating. And I want to encourage you this morning, and I want to say this to you. It is in that moment where you finally arrive, where you go, I can't do this anymore. I can't carry this anymore. I'm frustrated. I'm in pain. I feel like I want to give up. I feel like there's no hope. I feel like there's nowhere to turn. I want to encourage you this morning to hold on. Hold on this morning. Don't let go of the promise. Don't let go of what God spoke in your life. Keep the faith. Keep believing. Keep trusting. Because, man, the Labor Day is coming. It is coming. The baby is coming. That water is going to break. The baby is going to come. Don't give up. Don't compromise. Don't do things that you should not be doing. Hold on. Keep believing. Keep trusting. Because God will deliver on His promise. But He will do it in His own time and in His own way. I want to finish this series with one last story, and I believe that this sort of summarizes a lot of what I've been speaking about. I remember when Linda was pregnant with Vanessa, we were so excited, and we went through the process, and finally we went to go see the doctor, and the doctor basically said to us, "Look, here's the deal. If the baby has not come by a certain time, then I need you guys to come in, and we'll have the baby. We'll sort of make it happen, I guess." My wife's up here, so if I'm telling this wrong, just jump in. I'm not using very good language, I guess. So we went in and we were excited, and finally the birthday came, and it was early in the morning. It was 5 o'clock. We packed our stuff. We went in and we were, you know, very, very exciting. In my head, this is how the day was going to play out. Arrive hospital 6, baby born 7:15, breakfast at 8, we're all at the beach by 9. Was sort of my expectation, right? So we arrive there, and they check, and they do all their stuff, and there's nowhere to sit in this hospital, so I'm now in my beautiful scrubs, lying on the floor, and I'm, you know, and Linda's going through all kinds of stuff, and what they do is they gave her this thing that induces labor. Am I right? Okay, just hang with me. Okay, so it's an injection, right, that they give you? No, it's something. They give you a pill, something. They give you something that induces labor. So what this does is it's supposed to make, you know, your baby, your body starts to contract. The baby's supposed to come, and they do this, and nothing happens, right? Nothing. There's like nothing going on. We're now like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. There's nothing going on. I'm tired. She's tired. Everybody's tired. And Linda had this real desire of, man, I don't know why this was in her head and in her mind and in her heart, but she was like, man, I'll be happy with anything. I just don't want to have a C-section, right, where they cut your tummy open, where the baby comes out of the sunroof, right? She just, she did not want that, right? And I'm kind of like, it sounds kind of convenient to me, but okay, you know, whatever. So they induce her a second time, right? And they're trying to make this thing happen, and nothing is happening, right? Nothing is happening. Nothing's responding. Nothing's happening. We're now 6, 7 o'clock at night, and she's in tears. I'm in tears. We're all tired. The doctor basically comes in and says, look, here's the deal. We're at that point now where I think we're going to have to do a C-section. I think that's where we're at. And man, she struggled and I struggled because we had this idea. We had these hopes. We had these expectations. It was going to go a certain way. It was the way we wanted it to be. And now we were essentially being told that this is not how it's going to work. This is not what needs to happen. You essentially need to let go of your plan. And man, me and her sat and we held hands and she cried and I cried. And eventually I was like, you know, honey, I think we just got to let this go, right? The moment has come for us to let this go. We've got to give this up. We've got to let the Lord do what He needs to do. And I know this is not what we planned. I know this is not how we wanted it, but this is where we are. So they rolled her in, and they put up this sheet, and I was behind the sheet, sort of holding her hand, and I was really like super behind the sheet, you know, and I'm back there, and she's back there, and I'm feeling very fragile and panicked and nervous. She was fine, okay? And she says to me, how are they doing? Are they finished yet? I look over the sheet, and the doctor's got a ski mask and a chainsaw, you know. I get like lightheaded. I go back under the curtain. I'm like, I don't know what's happening. Like, let's just talk about life back here for a minute, right? And finally, I hear the doctor scream this thing out. He goes, okay, get the camera ready. Baby's coming. Camera, camera. And I'm like, I put the thing over the curtain and I go, amazing memories. I'll frame this. Sort of snap the picture. And baby's born. Baby's beautiful. Mommy's healthy. Everything is great. I go home that night, and now it's like 12 o'clock at night. It's the greatest day of my life. I'm in love with life. I love God. I love my wife. I love everybody. I love the doctor. I think I gave him a kiss on the mouth at one stage in the whole process. And I'm home, and I finally decide I'm going to go through these pictures that I took. And the picture's a little bit, it's a pregnancy picture. So if you're squirmish, I warn you. But I look at the pictures, and this was the first picture that came up onto my camera as I looked. And Look at that picture closely. That is literally an umbilical cord wrapped around her little neck. And the reason, the thing didn't want to work, the reason there was a delay was that there were problems behind the scenes that we just did not know about, right? And we kept on pushing, and we kept on crying out, and we kept on saying to God, this is what we want, this is how we want to do it, this is the process, this is the timeline we're giving you, this is what we want you to do. And it just kept on being delayed, and it kept on being delayed. And finally, after the experience, when I had a bit of perspective, I could see that God was in control the entire time. He was doing what he needed to do the entire time. I was literally asking him to do things that would have put my promise in danger and in jeopardy. And it was in that moment where we went, Lord, I give up. I give up. I give it to you now. I trust in you. I believe in you. Come by your Spirit and do what only you can do, because I know you are capable of delivering way better than I will ever be. And God delivered like he always does. And he came through like he always does. And the answer might not always look the way we think, but he is faithful. He is amazing. He is incredible. He is powerful. Come, let's stand in this place this morning. Father, I want to thank you this morning just for your unbelievable goodness and kindness, Father. Lord, I want to thank you this morning that we can step out of the production line. Help us to step out of the way. Help us to step out of that place where we are constantly trying to call the shots, and we're constantly trying to make things happen, and we're constantly trying to take control, Lord. Help us to just give up this morning. Give up everything into your Spirit, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you will lead us and guide us to a place where our walk is a walk of dependency upon you. Our walk is a walk of faith in you. Our walk is a walk of reliance upon you, Father. I pray this morning that you will come and just do a work in this place, Father. Come on, let's sing that song one more time this morning.